Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all those who are joining us for this awesome show called Compassion Bikini. And it's a show about women are having awesome hearts and the passion to do work in order to improve the world. So today we have three amazing and the definition of wonderful, in awe of the angels who are here with us today. So it's angels on earth. So our first guest is an angel of love, and her name is Tish. Say hello, Tish.
Hello there.
And our second angel is an angel of compassion, truly an amazing woman. And say hello, Adrian.
Hello, good evening, good morning.
And our last, but definitely not least, is an angel of strength and courage. And her name is Robin.
Hello.
So before we begin the show, so let's talk about compassion. So first of all, before we even talk about compassion, so we're going to play a little game, okay? So, Robin, can you describe one word that described Tish?
Tish, one word?
One word.
Well, I can't do it in one word, but...
Okay, do it more than one word.
Tish does
yes.
not demand authority, but Tish, with her grace and love and wisdom... commands authority.
Ooh.
Wow.
Wow. Okay, Tish, can you describe Adrian?
A sweet and gentle spirit full of love and compassion and selflessness.
Okay, so Adrian, how about Robin?
Robin is very gentle and kind, and an extremely earnest, loving individual.
Wow. Okay. All right. So let's begin. Let's talk about compassion. What is it? What's your definition of compassion, and how do you live out your compassion in this world? Okay, let's start with Tish. Tish?
My life's definition of compassion is caring, listening, and loving without discrimination. Compassion is showing our love for others and helping to meet their needs without expecting anything in return. Willing to give and share our hearts, our lives, and our gifts with those in need. In today's world, we're told to look out for number one, ourselves first, and don't trust anyone. With every day, our world becomes more broken, broken hearts and broken lives. Compassion is desperately needed in a world that believes no one cares. Our Heavenly Father cares. He loves with a never-ending love, a love so great that He sent His one and only Son to make a way that we could be reconciled with Him in right relationship by His death on the cross. The compassion of Christ on the cross is what gives us the hope of glory, eternity with God in heaven.
Well said, Tish. Okay, Adrian, your turn.
Okay, well, Tish definitely summed it up, and I agreed with what she said heartedly. And I find, as a person of faith who believes in the Lord Jesus, because I've received this love that she talked about from the Heavenly Father, the wonderful thing is once we do receive it, He comes to live and reside within us, and His love exudes from us. And so then I just have a compulsion from the Holy Spirit to, in with everything that I do, and the way that I talk, and the way that I listen to people, that I touch people, because as a physician I have the opportunity to do that a lot. My every thought is, how can I show the love of God? And so, you know, when Jesus was here walking on the earth, the scripture talks about how His heart was moved with compassion, and that comes from the Father. And so for me, I try to keep that in the forefront of my mind in my every interaction. How can I show the love of God? And Lord, let my heart be always soft and sensitive to put others first so that I might be able to sense the need and address it with what he's given me.
Thank you, Adrienne. And Robin?
Well, thanks for having Tish and Adrienne go first, because I could not have said it as eloquently. And, of course, I'm not walking in Adrienne's shoes, but I can testify that how she described compassion is exactly what she portrayed to me, someone who just met her. And I guess I could only say in agreement with both Tish and Adrienne that I believe compassion, the way Tish described it and lives it out, the way Adrienne concurred and obviously lives it out in her with her career, that compassion breeds hope, and hope does not disappoint. And as we saw, there's such a lack of hope in the world, and so I believe compassion is one of the answers for that. Compassion with the right motive, as Tish said, not about me, and not about how when I take action and do something to help others that I'm going to benefit from it, or I'm going to make myself feel better because I've done something above and aboard, but compassion motivated, as Adrienne said, because Jesus loved the people and looked upon them with compassion. So I, as a follower of Christ, desire for my life to look like his, because that's what he did. Everything the Father did, he obeyed. He absolutely did what his Father did. So we do what he did.
Thank you so much. So because all three of you are a true women who live out our compassion for the highest good of this world. And May is a month of miracle, and it's truly a miracle that all three of us happen to come into one place and doing missionary work in Poland. And so before we get started, so Robin is from Arizona, and she came over to Europe because of her sister, Heidi, who is a spouse in the military. And also, May is a month for military moms and miracle. So this kind of all ties in together. And Adrienne is here because she's visiting her sister, Drea, who's also a spouse of the military, and who come over here from Idaho to come on this missionary trip. And Tish, who lives here and who's a spouse and who's this awesome, compassionate woman, and it took me almost 2 years to find her. I'm so glad I found you, Tish.
Me too.
So can you tell us a little bit about Hearts of Elim and what is the background, and how did you, the single woman who organized this amazing missionary trip, which gathered 28 amazing angels on this earth who come and just gave their heart and do what is needed to be done in the little town called Elim. So,
okay.
Tish, please tell us.
Okay. Well, just a little bit of history. Elim Christian Center is a Christian mission in Lwowik, Poland, established in 1992 with the vision to share the love of God to those in need. The need is a very poor community, and the need there at that time was to reach out to many who were suffering with alcoholism, who were desperate, no work to be had. Families were in great need of support, of someone to care and to love for them. And a beautiful couple from Australia, Ken and Giselle Herwainen, felt the call of God to go there. Now, they were from Australia. They were in Texas in training, in missionary training. They had been in Germany for a few years, and God called them to go to this village in Poland to start a mission. They started it in a trailer, camper trailer, with three children and a campground, and were there for approximately 2.5 years before the purchase of the palace. That was another complete faith walk that we don't have time to discuss. But from the very moment of their step of obedience to his call, God has continued to bless. So the palace that Elam was established in is about 450 years old. It had been overtaken during World War II and occupied, and then left. And basically everything in it had been vandalized, so that when the Herwanans purchased it, it was a shell of a palace with not one window, not one door, not one anything that could have been restored immediately. But God gave them a vision. They listened to him. They obeyed. He provided it. Every step of faith that they took, he provided. And it has been in restoration since 1992, and it is still a work in progress, but a beautiful work in progress. People just like us have gone over the years and helped through donations, through their own blood, sweat, and tears to help them to restore it. And in that process, they have had a ministry to the to those in the community who were suffering with alcoholism. Then they were able to reach out to the needy. They were able to work with children, and there's a children's home next door that for handicapped children that they are able to minister to. They have a clothing program. They have a lunch program for some children from the local school during the week. They have help for the elderly, for the poor. And they've been able to be involved in many physical and spiritual needs of the individuals living in the surrounding towns and villages over the years. Our particular mission trip began about 7 to 8 years ago with my local church that sponsored it, and they doing the same kind of acts of service that we did this past week. The church-sponsored trip required that participants be active attenders or members of the church to participate. Last year, the church determined to continue supporting Elam through mission offerings and such, but not to continue with the women's mission trip and to pursue another mission opportunity in a different country here in Europe. I had participated with the church 3 times previously on this mission and had taken 2 personal trips to Elam during the past 4 years. Now that I look back on it, I can see how God was preparing me for this year, unbeknownst to me, through those trips. And I led the trip last year that was sponsored by the church, so that was a preparation. He let me practice last year for this year, although I didn't know it then. When the announcement was made that they would not be sponsoring the trip this year, the Lord spoke directly to me and told me, yes, we would be continuing this act of service and love, the we being me and him. As I stepped out in faith and obedience, God immediately brought women who had been to Elam before to my side to be an encouragement and support in the process. We started working this mission back in January, and every step of faith I took, God confirmed this was his desire, and there would be no limitations as to who could participate, except that they understand this was a Christ-centered, compassion-filled group seeking to go serve those who are in need with tender, loving care, desiring that the love of Christ be evident in every thought, word, and action of each participant. Therefore, the name Hearts for Elam became the name of the group, and the mission and God's greatest commandment, our mission statement, which is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Mark 12, verse 30 through 31. So this past week,
God spoke it and he completed it. 28 beautiful hearts joined together to go to I have a hard time with pronouncing the name, but Lvovik, Poland. We served in areas as we had a medical team who saw over 300 people in the course of 2 days, providing tender, loving care, basically over consultation, being able to take care of the acute needs, I guess you would say, Adrian. And in cases where the doctor felt that there was serious need, she would encourage strongly that they pursue with their doctors there further care, because we were quite limited on what we could offer. But we were able to love on them. We were able to pray with them and encourage them, and that was a tremendous medicine to their soul. Mm-hmm. We had a clothing team. We took with us 317 bags, giant garbage bags full of clothing, to their clothing room that literally closed the village. They do not pay for any of those clothing. They come there and they are able to choose clothing from this clothing room on a regular basis as their needs are met. We had a gardening team, which usually goes to the palace just to help spruce it up and provide bright, cheery flowers and just to make the palace more welcoming to those who come there for whatever their needs are. But this year they got to delve in a little bit deeper and go into more of a reconstruction landscaping projects that even made the palace more beautiful, and just a place where people, an oasis, and a place that they could go and just enjoy the scenery and have places to just relax and be blessed. We had a painting team that went to the church and painted beautiful murals on the children's Sunday school class walls just to bring love and joy and reminder that they are loved by our Father. Another painting team went to the museum that the Elam Christian Center owns, and the desire of this museum is to be a place in the town that will be a witness of Christ's love to the community, that they can come in and have an exercise room, have the clothing room so that they can pick up clothing there, and just to expand their witness and their ministry to outreach to the community in an even broader sense. And help me, girls, what else? Carpet cleaning. Oh, carpet cleaning is job security at the palace forever, until the Lord comes back and calls us home. Yes. Because it is a large palace, obviously, and the carpet cleaning is not something that's available to them there. So we take carpet cleaners with us on this trip, and we clean until we just run out of time. And what a blessing that is, to provide a freshness and a cleanliness to the people who come and go from Elam. So those were the opportunities that we had, and the women who went. There were, I think, only about 6 who were people who had been to Elam before. So that means all those 22 others had a brand new opportunity to go to Elam, to bless and be blessed. And now I'll be quiet and let others share.
That was wonderful. Thank you, Tish.
Yes, that was a very good, insightful. Okay, so Tish mentioned the medical team. So, Adrian, you were on the medical team. Can you kind of give us a little bit about your background a little bit, and then give us what it was like to serve compassion medicine over in Poland?
Okay, absolutely. I am a board-certified family medicine physician, and which means I've been trained to take care of, to deliver babies, to take care of infants, and up through adults, up through geriatrics. So it's good to have that broad knowledge base to care for the wonderful people at the Elam Christian Center. Basically, they had a double-decker bus where I guess we used the first deck to actually care for patients, and so we had little stations, I guess, where the tables and chairs were, where there would be a nurse or myself, a provider, who would assess their acute needs and try to see if we had any basic medications or bandages or, you know, see how we could care for the patients. And then upstairs is where we had our supplies. And in addition to providing the medications, which were, you know, basic over-the-counter meds, we were able to provide some personal care items as well. So every person that came received a toiletry kit and some additional items. And so it was a blessing. It was wild and crazy and very, very busy, but really wonderful experience. And we had translators to assist us. And so so we had young people and teenagers who would run up and down the stairs and make sure we had the supplies that we need. But it was really a blessing. And for me as a provider who desires to provide compassionate care and to give that personal touch, which at least in America sometimes is difficult, it was a really blessing to be able to be free and to just love on people and to pray with people and to try to go the extra mile to extend that care. And so there were many patients that came and obviously who we could not address their needs because they needed more prescription medications or they needed more of a workup. And we did give recommendations and then, you know, when there were times where I was like, Lord, what can we do for this person? And I was able to refer them because as a family doctor, we're like basic primary care. And then when we have a situation that's outside of our scope, we refer to a specialist. So I felt very privileged to be able to refer to the great physician when there were situations that we know, like, Lord, I have no medicine to adequately address this issue, and the person can't, has limited needs. And so we were able to pray, and honestly, I believe the Lord to do a great work in many of the patients that we prayed for, and I look forward to hearing about testimonies of creative miracles, because you're talking about this is the month of miracle, where our God is a wonderful God. Our God can do anything, and
Amen.
I think sometimes we get bogged down with life and we don't, you know, sometimes we just get caught up in the rat race. Sometimes we don't think about the miraculous, but our Lord desires to do those great things. And so it was a very exciting opportunity and very overwhelming emotionally for me, but it blessed me probably more than it blessed the people. Yes.
Thank you, Adrian. That was that was awesome. Okay, so Robin, what team were you in and what was your experience like and what can you take back to the States? What really touched you?
I was the rover, so I was just there to do whatever needed to be done that Tish wasn't quite sure needed to be done. And I actually was put on the mural team with Adrian's lovely sister, Drea, who I so enjoyed getting to know, and really enjoyed that. I was off the palace campus at that time, so I wasn't able to really interact with the people. And I'm not a history buff, but I do enjoy history, starting with the history from Genesis to Malachi. I love the history that God has put in that the Old Testament. But I think we learn from history. Anyway, I did not get to work around the people the first day, and I was content with that. And the next day, Tish asked me to help one of the gals with on the medical team in a kind of a trivial position, but I got to actually interact with the people, and I really enjoyed trying to learn how to say thank you. And I still can't remember how, but
Jinkuya.
Thank you, Jinkuya. So I guess what touched me the most was to really be able to see this culture. It's, you know, many, many churches in the States gear up and take their resources and they go on these helps and needs mission trips. But generally, it seems to me, and of course I'm only in Arizona, but that these that they usually tend to go to a more of a third world country, and yet the needs, as we saw, ladies, in Eastern Europe, in Poland, are great physical and spiritual needs. So for me, that was, I'm still trying to decide what the Lord's showing me there, but there's something going on there. But to see the people and to remember the history that there was, those people were separated from the free world until 1988, 89, when the wall came down, me loving history. It was very interesting to watch the people and the culture interact. And I had wanted to, there was an elderly gentleman who came through my line, and I really wanted to be able to talk with him and find out about his life, because he had been alive during the Second World War as a young child. So that my interpreter, I was kind of hesitant to ask her because I wasn't quite sure culturally if she was going to be comfortable getting into this man's life. And I believe she just did it to appease me, but it was interesting to watch. And when we first got there, Ken, who is the husband of the Australian couple, said something the first night we were there, which was that there was a man there whom in the community who had been diagnosed with, I believe, ladies, correct me if I'm wrong, he's been diagnosed with some disease, and he felt so hopeless. Was it that? And so observing the people when I got to work with them the next day, you could really see they don't smile naturally. You can see that the elderly people, the trust, there's not a lot of trust. They don't touch each other in conversation. In fact, what I observed was that they really did not engage one another in conversation. Their lives were very private. That's what I observed. And it seemed as though there was just, you know, this trust, a lack of trust. And to rebuild trust, I think that this community is so blessed that Ken and Giselle answered God's call and have basically given their lives to build within that community something lasting, something that's not going away, that they do what they say and they say what they do, and slowly, very slowly, it's as if they are working to rebuild trust among those people. And they've been there how many years, Tish?
The house has been there 20 years, but they've been there probably 23, 24 years.
Right. And so even after 23 or 24 years and the reputation of the palace being one that is true to what's said about it, there's still, I don't know if you ladies noticed, but there was still, as the people would come, you could sense they trusted what was going on at Elam, but I don't know if anyone can see that or explain it better than I am here, but that was what was the most touching to me, and heartbreaking but encouraging to know that they were actually having the opportunity to experience an entity that truly did pour out themselves to them, for them, because they love them. And it was just interesting to see the contrast. So I don't know if that made sense or not, but yes. It's very hard.
Yeah.
No, thank you so much for sharing that.
Mm-hmm.
It does. So last question here. From this last trip or previous trip, what footprints of Poland are left in your heart today? Adrian.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow.
Well, I guess for me, since I did have a little more intimate contact with the people, I guess it was, and I'm glad that Robin mentioned what she did, because I didn't have a chance to see on the outside in terms, and I guess I didn't think about the context in terms of the history about trust. But when they came in, they were vulnerable, and it seemed like they were open, and they were very grateful, and very open and very trusting. And even though many of the people, because we had limited resources, had to wait a long while, there was no sense of entitlement. People were gracious, and that was actually because that's not always been my experience. And working in America, that has not always been my experience. And so that actually was very impressive to me and made an impact. And I guess just the gratitude and the vulnerability, and even though I was doing my best to extend the love of God, many of the people, they like hugged me, they kissed me, they thanked me, they offered to pray for me, and that just definitely left an impression on me.
And Robin?
I was humbled. I was inspired. I was inquisitive in the sense that I traveled a long way to come to Poland, and I thought, this is fabulous that I'm having this opportunity with my sister to experience this. And it made me so thankful. I wondered how many other bases, American military bases around this world, these bases are planted in all nations, and it made me wonder, like, how many Christian missions actually take off from these bases and go into the surrounding lands, communities, and do a work like this. And I'm not, I would have no idea if that happens, but wouldn't that be amazing if it did? And then I thought, gosh, you know, I'm in Arizona. I've been to Mexico on a couple of weekend trips, but to just, my communities in America need this. I mean, everywhere there is a need for compassion, and maybe the physical needs might be a little bit different, but to meet those physical needs allows you to bring the compassion, which hopefully opens a door to actually help meet the spiritual needs, which, the human body is the only vessel that the Holy Spirit can live in. And it's the soul of the human being, in my opinion, that we need to be most concerned about. And how do we reach the soul? Like, I'm looking at these people that I can see how being under the oppression of communism, and in fact, I did get to speak to the gentleman who Stalin's army came in and took him as a 5-year-old, his 3 sisters and his parents, and took them on a month-long journey into Russia somewhere, where he lived in a camp for the next 7 years of his life, where he was fed propaganda. Fear was installed within him. And anyway, what does he need? His soul needs to know that there's one that died for him, loves him, cares for him, and will take him home to his true resting place eventually. And, that need is all around the world, even in America. So I don't need to travel 12 hours and 11 more hours to go do compassionate work and meet people's needs. I can just walk out my door and go right downtown. And so that was kind of inspiring to me, and I really hope to be able to be more effective that way in my own community, because Tish is taking care of everybody over here.
Okay, Tish, what handprints, footprints that are left in your heart?
When you go to Elam, you see people who have committed their whole lives to serving our Lord and Savior. And that service means allowing His love to flow freely from their lives every single minute of every single day. But that does not mean that they are perfect by any stretch of the imagination or that their lives are, but they are striving to be who God created them to be and to serve Him and their life to be purposeful. We all can't go and live within those kind of confines. We're not all called to do that specific work. But just like Robin said, how many of us don't even know our next door neighbors?
Mm-hmm.
How many of us don't know the people that live across the street and have maybe never done more than wave, if you've even done that? Where's the compassion for these people that are right next to us who have just as great a need as these people in Poland? And so that's what Poland did for me starting 5 years ago, was to teach me that I am to be the love of Christ in action, that people can see every day right where I am, wherever He's placed us. Nobody is anywhere that He hasn't ordained.
Yes.
He's placed us where we are for His purposes and for us to take it seriously. Time is of the essence.
Mm-hmm.
I feel a sense of urgency that we share the love of Christ with everyone that we possibly can, not to beat it over their head, but to live it out in everything that we do, that it's not about us, but it's about Him and who He is in us, and to put others, their needs and their cares, and to meet whatever we can, to show the love and compassion of Christ in our daily lives. And yes, would I like to go and live at Elam forever? Yeah. to live in that environment, to be walking daily surrounded by brothers and sisters in Christ, that'd be a touch of heaven.
Yeah.
And we felt a touch of heaven there when we were able to go and serve alongside of them. And what that feels like to work in unity and spirit and of heart, and then to be in the church service with them, even though, we didn't speak the same language, we were praising our Father in heaven with the same hearts and the language of love. And there's nothing better than that.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And so, to be able to be more consistent in my sharing of His love, that's what I want, and that's what I take away from Elam.
And if possible, I don't know if we have enough time, but there was one scripture that came to mind that I guess share with other ladies that didn't have a good chance to do it on the bus, but hopefully to kind of sum up what have spoken about. This scripture comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, and I'm using the Contemporary English Version since it's it makes things clear. It says, "The scriptures say, God commanded light to shine in the dark. Now God is shining in our hearts to let you know that His glory is seen in Jesus Christ. We are like clay jars in which this treasure is stored. The real power comes from God and not from us." And I just felt like, especially as you think about Poland, a lot of times people think about the pottery, but we're just vessels, earthen vessels that the Lord uses when we yield ourselves to Him. And beautiful things can come from that, not because of us, we're not special, but because of Him and all that He's done and what He desires to do. So it encourages other people to yield to the Lord, to let His love shine through you, to touch people and to share the gospel with everyone that you know.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. So just to let the listeners know, I also participated and became one of the 28 ladies, and I did work in landscaping, and I'm very, very grateful because when I signed up, I thought it was gardening, but it ended up being landscaping. And after much physical work, and I'm a yoga instructor, so, you know, part of me think, okay, no problem, but it's kind of demanding. But afterward, I was so grateful and so thankful that we landscaped instead of garden, because my expectation going there was pulling weeds. I was like, I'm ready to pull weeds. Just tell me where to go, and I go. But then when we end up digging and uprooting and replanting trees, and like Trish said, we created an oasis that is forever lasting, and it just keeps on going and going. It's not like you plant a plant in one pot and then replant again next year. No, what we did was we changed the ground to make it more peaceful, more serene, to bring the happiness and the joy that is in the space that was given, to make it more magnificent. So I was so grateful for that experience, and I was so grateful that we end up landscaping, because not only we landscaped the environment, but I also did some landscaping in my heart too, in a sense where have faith, just trust, and just walk that faith and take that leap of faith and go into the unknown, knowing that you will be taken care of no matter what. And that was one of the major lessons that I took away, because I realized that a lot of us like to plan. We like to plan everything. We like to know what's happening. But to go and have no expectation and then get a little bit jumbled up, and then in the end, you're like, wow, that was kind of cool. That was kind of magnificent. All righty then. So, and I know that a lot of the ladies who I've talked to, it was just that time where, you know, a lot of us got to meditate and just to see the love and the wonderful light that is around. And it was just so beautiful. It was just so beautiful. It's just so hard to describe unless you were there and experienced it yourself. So with that being said, every week I do these things called mindfulness meditation. And the end of this week is a Memorial Weekend for us American. And this is my mindfulness meditation for this week. I hope all of you enjoy. So here we go. Today's mindfulness meditation is brought to you by happiness. Is happiness a destination for you to arrive at, or is it moment to moment of feeling great joy? In our Declaration of Independence, it states, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." There are books that tell us how we should be happy, how we could be happy, and how we would be happy if we were rich, if we were famous, if we have this toys and that toys. We know that rich people are not always the happiest, and the happiest people are not always rich. Have you ever heard of the gross national product of happiness? Yes, it's a measure of the wellness of the countries on their overall mental health, physical well-being, emotional attitude, environmental protection, social justice, peaceful political well-being. And let's take a guess. Where do you think the United States fall on this scale? Well, Iceland's and the Nordic countries are the highest ranking, and America barely made it up to the top 30. Is that a woo-hoo or a boo-hoo? Well, true happiness is an inside job, heartfelt. It's a measure of our overall health. When you are happy, you are in tune with your emotional battery, which is high on happiness, not on stress. Happiness leads your mental, physical health being in alignment with inner joy and complete peace. When you are happy, your body feels good, pain-free. You become lighter and light for greater compassion and joy. So happiness is moment-to-moment presence that you get from life. Please make a deposit to your heart and your head account for more happy coins, great tunes, awesome feelings, memorable experience, and the spirit of passion into our soul savings. Here are some tips for the pursuit of happiness for 2012. Let's get us or the USA up to at least the top 10 of the national product, shall we? 1. Life is good because we have running water and electricity. Do you have food to eat when you're hungry or live in a place called home? If you do, then life is really great. 2. Liberty is the freedom to choose. Choose choice over chance. Changes over excuses. Choose to listen to your inner voice over the opinion of negative and ignorant people. Remember, not choosing is also a choice. 3. Egos soar. They do not sway. Soar into your own excellence. Do not sway into competition or the approval of others, or fall into pride and jealousy. 4. Be a 5-point star. Every time you think, feel, or say something that is not godlike or with anger, stop. Be a star. Say the 5 points. What is good? What is great? What is gentle? And what are you so grateful for? 5. Meditate on this. Red is for action with compassion. White is your light to the world. Blue is more abundance back to you. And that is red, white, and blue. And be a star. Well, this is a show that looks at the sweetness of life, to slow you down to smell the flowers of what life has to offer in the here and now. Until next time, may you fly with the spirit and strength, with God's back to your true nature, and have everlasting happiness and joy underneath your wings. So that's my mindfulness meditation, and I am so grateful that I have 3 very special angels who are working in this earth to make this place a more compassionate place for all of us. And if all of us work together, like what Tish, Adrian, and Robin say, well, maybe all of us can contribute, maybe just a little bit, to increase our national gross product of happiness. And that would be truly a miracle. So I have hope that we will, America, USA, will get maybe top 10 within 2000 and, I don't know, 20, I hope. So any last words that you want to leave for the listener? Anybody? Okay, let's go with Robin. Last words.
I just want to thank you, Kim, for having me on, and thank Tish and Adrian and you for just the great opportunity of working together for one cause when we went to Aleem. And thank you so much. It's such a pleasure to meet all of you. Blessing.
Thank you, Robin. Okay, Adrian.
I too would like to thank you for this opportunity, and I guess I love the scripture. That was going to be my last thought, but I guess basically this show is hopefully to encourage people, and
And I guess as an encouragement, you know, you may hear like, oh, Robin and Tish and Adrian, that's fine and dandy. But each of us have an opportunity in every encounter that we have, whether we're going to show the love of God and love, show the love of Christ, whether you're going to the grocery store or looking for that parking spot outside the store, or just to take the time. But number one, I believe personally that you have to yield your heart to the Lord and your life so that you can be that light, because trying to do it yourself is just something that just I've found personally I can't do by myself. But as I've yielded myself to Him, then He's able to do great things, and then I'm on the lookout for how I can be used to help others and show that love to others. So I just want to encourage, we talked about happiness, but for me that's where I've found my happiness, through Christ, and hopefully it can be an encouragement to those listening.
Thank you, Adrian. And Tish?
Well, I just am thankful that our group has joined many other Hearts for Elam that have been loving on them and going and sharing in the years before us. I did want to mention that in the past, people that I have known in the past 5 years that have done what we have had the privilege to do this past week also contributed greatly through financial donations, through medical donations, through prayers that helped us to accomplish what we were able to do this week. And so this is a gift that keeps on giving in our hearts forever. And we will all be able to continue to participate in one way or another. This is not just a one-time opportunity, but something that will go on in the years to come. And what a blessing that is to know that there's this avenue of love and compassion that we have to share with others.
And Tish, is there a website that the listeners could listen to if they want to find more information regarding Hearts for Elam?
Hearts, we have a Facebook.
Okay.
It's Hearts for Elam on Facebook, and we post things there from time to time, and there are many, 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 many pictures there and comments from people who love Elam and have had that experience there.
Okay, so it's Facebook, so you have to ask to be their a friend through Hearts of Elam, yes?
Hearts for Elam.
Hearts for Elam, okay.
Yes.
Super. Well, I am truly grateful that God has brought you three in my path, and I have an opportunity to see and to be your friend and to work alongside you and just to get to know you better. All three of you are so very, very special. You are the true light of God's good deed, and you all three are a true being of God's angel. I can't describe you any more than that. So and I'm just so thankful that he brought Robin from Arizona and brought Adrian from Idaho and brought Tish all together, and it's just so amazing, and I'm so grateful for all you do and who you are and just your beauty and your grace through everything you do and everything you say. So I just want you to know that all three of you have changed my heart, and you all three have landscaped my heart by planting trees and flowers and laying down bricks and all that. So I am very grateful for that. And I thank you for touching my life. And I thank you that you took that leap of faith and just came over from the United States to be with family and come along for the ride. And Tish, I am grateful that you took that leap of faith and plan an amazing missionary trip. And there are no words to tell you how truly grateful we are to you. Just know that you are loved so very much, And truly, you are a angel of love. You, your heart and your spirit and your being is just says L-O-V-E, love.
Mm-hmm. So, his love, only much. Possible by because of who he is. Oh my.
So thank you. Thank you so very much for being on our show. So thank you, thank you, thank you. God bless you. May God keep you safe and protect you under his greatness and his joy and his light. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you, Kim.
Thank you, Kim.
Thank you. Oh, and I did find the website for the Elam Center is elamcenter.pl. And so if people want to go to the actual site, I just found it. While you were
Can you say it again?
Elam Center, ELIMCENTER.PL.
Okay, elamcenter.pl.
PL.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you, Kim.
Thank you.
Good night, okay. Ladies.
Good night.
Good night. Good afternoon. And have a wonderful day, wonderful evening. Sweet dream.
Okay. God bless you all.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.